Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation. Thank you for listening to the Saga podcast. I'm Garrison and I'm Sarah. And today we're going to be talking about James Baxter, the legendary James Baxter, who is an animator, has worked on countless things, and we'll be talking about that shortly.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Sarah, do you have any comments about what we're going to talk about today?
Not really. This is one of those animators that I think feel like kind of goes under radar quite a bit. Like, he's, you know, he's not a Disney. He's not like, wow, now I'm blanking on all of the animators who are famous. He doesn't really have a whole lot of, as far as find about him, you know, other than history, and the many, many works he's animated on.
Yeah, right. Like he's the kind of, person that you may not know his name, but you've definitely seen something that he's done. But, anyway, a little bit about him. He was born May 1st, 1967, which would make him, as of 2020, 53 years old. He was born in England. And what's interesting is that I've found some interviews of his, and that, like, one was when he was like doing a how to draw Spirit from the Spirit Horse movie, and his accent was a bit thicker there, but still like not as strong as I think it would be earlier in his career. And then I watched some stuff of him talking about Klaus, and his accent was like non-existent, so I think that's kind of cool that his accent is like kind of fading.
And very Americans now.
Yeah, he's one of us now, and he's a secret national treasure.
Definitely.
And so basically his career started in about 1988 with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He did some like background characters on that. And through like about through 1988 through 1996, he worked at Disney. And he kind of left Disney for DreamWorks about the same time, so about 1998. And a couple of times he actually went back to Disney with the Enchanted movie in 2007 and Mary Poppins Returns in 2018. And he's also done like a couple of episodes for Gravity Falls in 2012, and I think he did the opening for that show too. And in 2005 to about 2008, he had his, or 2005 to th- yeah, about 2005 to 2008 or nine, he had his own studio. Yeah, pretty short lived, not really much on that, but, yeah, he just kind of had his own studio and like moved back to DreamWorks and worked on some stuff. Any comments on that?
No, that was much it. I think I read that he worked at Netflix for quite some time. So as of like 2017, he started working for Netflix. It's nice that, you know, like this person, although he's radar as far as, you know, recognizable name, he can basically go work for anybody. You know, he's worked for like the big top ones, and now for Netflix, float where to go.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's a talented guy. Like he's been able to adapt to the now very popular CG world, and a lot of artists back then, they really couldn't adapt. I think that like speaks to his talent, that he was able to like make the like he's able to like still do 2D stuff but still work in 3D as well with works like Shrek 2, How to Train Your Dragon, Kung Fu Panda, Madagascar, different things like that. But in 20 2017, he won a Winter McKay Award along with Steven Hillenburg and Amanda Forbes and Wendy Tilby. So that's pretty cool. That's the Winsor McKay is like an animation award. So that's it. It took a while, but good for him.
Right. Yeah, I think it's hard to find awards in animation. Like, I mean, there's the Annie Awards, but it's very rare that anybody's like an Oscar.
Yeah, like because it's not like a director for like a normal feature film, because I guess you can see their faces, but you don't see their faces at the same time. Like with a live action movie, you can pick out, like, you know, there's the Quentin Tarantinos, there's the Steven Spielbergs, the Christopher Nolans, things like that. But I really can't think of many animation ones, you know, which is a shame.
Yeah, it's very rare that happens. So, I mean, it's good. It's good that we have to give incredible.
Do you think it's to the benefit of animation that there commonly aren't faces attached to the project, or would you like animation to like feature the talent in front of the camera more?
That's interesting. I would like more anime, like be more boastful maybe about their, because I didn't know about James Baxter or him. I wouldn't have named and, you know, suggestion. And I, maybe that's like my own fault. Maybe I'm not that like nerdy of a kind of, but we all know like Spielberg, like you said, like, you know, all of those guys, but they're also like in the limelight. I don't know.
Right. So you saying that sort of triggered something in that. So the comic that you have, and you let me borrow the, what is it? Like The Making of Comics or something by like Scott.
Yeah. How to Make Comics.
Yeah. Scott. And in that book, they mention the more abstract a face is, the easier it is to see yourself in there or something. And by nature of it being animation, the faces are more abstract than, say, real life. So you would think that because of that, audiences would be able to attach more to the characters, thus sort of making them more popular.
Hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be the case, because also, if you look at it, in that there's a big push for like live action, and you know, with the Marvel movies and the Disney live action movies that have been happening, there's like a push for live action. So I guess something closer to real life is more interesting at this time. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say why it's catchy. I think it, like, every, you know, like, I feel like there is such a barrier for a lot, say, you know, I can't watch anime. And I feel like that's the hardest part for probably joy and anime, especially adult anime, like BoJack Horse, Mooka and Birdie, the one by the podcaster.
Duncan Trussell,
that, like, all of those ones are so really abstract, but they deal like an adult, but a lot of people won't approach it because...
Right, and it's ironic because some of the earliest animation was like, they had like smoking and like drinking and like deals with like devils and things like that, and there was like some sexuality involved. So I think like it really caught on with Disney, and I think that he wanted to make it like a mass appeal sort of thing. So he kind of like rounded off the edge to animation of what it could be, because Disney caught on worldwide, that sort of became the standard of what animation was.
Right. And there are some like cart that can be like the balance with child stuff. Like I love Adventure Time. I'm an adult. I love and James Baxter was a guest animator for Adventure Time. He himself animated and voiced a character named James Baxter the Horse. Like the entire episode named James Baxter the Horse, and he's like this horse that neighs to cheer people up. But you know, he's worked on many kids shows, many projects, but I think like there's still something about Adventure Time that makes adults, you know, I know plenty of adults, My Little Pony and what is it, Universe?
I a few years ago went to this this like ska party, and Halloween, and I was dressed as Jake the dog, and I met some people there that were like dressed as Princess Bubblegum and Finn, and we kind of bonded over that, so that was cool. And they were like in their 20s or something. I think they had a kid too, so you know, so animation is more than just for kids. But we've talked a lot about who he is, kind of, but we haven't really talked about his works. Do you want to talk about his works, or do you want me to talk about what he's worked on?
I mean, I can. This is a very short list. What is avail, like all of the works he's done. But you know, like the main big ones, you'll recognize all of these. You know, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Little Mermaid, Lion King, Hunchback Notre Dame, Egypt, Road to El Dorado, Shrek 2, Madagascar, How to Train Your Dragon. Adventure to Klaus, like all of them. That's the short list. That's not even that many.
Yeah. Like I said, if you've seen something that's animated in the past like 30 years, I guess, you've likely seen something that he's worked on. And and a comment about his work, he really has this like really uncanny talent to make 2D things look 3D. Like, I've seen his work on, like, Spirit, and, like, the way that he can make a horse, like, move in, like, 3D, but it being 2D is, like, super impressive, and, yeah, it's incredible.
Also, if you want to see some of work, there's short videos. He actually has with the same name, James Baxter, YouTube him, and you can see, like, short clips of some of the work that he's done on some of the more famous stuff, and it's like, it's kind of cool. All the clips are super sketchy. They're very raw, but they're just very short, and he doesn't have that many videos, and I think that's due like licensing post that many.
Do you have any final comments?
From what I see, like, okay, when googling him, I noticed that he had his profile page, TN Expo. So I'm guessing they made that page because he might end up being a pin organizer. They didn't list officially as a, but normally they have like quite a lot of people that are. So I don't know if that was like on accident, they SEO'd it.
Neat. That's very neat. Well, anyway, thanks for listening to the Saga Podcast. And we're glad that you listened this far in. Well, thanks, and come back next time with our season 4 with Doro Hedoro season 1. Catch you then.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you, head off, that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, anything that you like, appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.